nothing better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer.
That's right, friends. It's time for another episode of In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, coming to us from Juneau and me, Orin, here in Petersburg. We want to say thanks to the Flower Farm. They're a supporter of this program, and they've got those great greenhouses down there at Papke's Landing, 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing to be exact. Open every day but Wednesday. And you're welcome to pop down and check out the flowers in bloom, and they've got lots of other stuff you need for the garden, too. Their phone number, 772-3464. That's the Flower Farm. And remember, you can call in and put a question to Master Gardener Ed Bajarski by calling 772-3808 during the program here. And we'll put you on the air with Ed. Speaking of, I think we've got Ed on the phone now. Are you there, Ed?
I'm here, Oren. Yeah, and it's not even raining at the moment, and there's some blue sky patches around me, and... I begrudge all our time here. I need to be back out there gardening.
Well, we'll keep it a quick show then. Yes, indeed. Well, it's nice to have a clear day this time of year.
No, I didn't say that. No, there's sucker holes here. There's little patches of blue here.
Okay,
a clear day is we had a couple of those. I was up in Haines over the long weekend and had a great time up there. Had a couple of beautiful, three really nice days actually.
Oh yeah,
up there, and I heard there was some decent weather down here too. So
yeah,
great to be up there. We picked a gallon of blueberries, 5 gallons of cherries, 5 gallons of apples. I helped one of the farms up there harvest potatoes. It was great. You know, ate lots of good local stuff.
Mm.
And really enjoyed getting out of town for a bit, seeing some different gardening efforts. Haines is very different, much drier than Juneau, which is drier than Petersburg. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm still glad I live on a hill.
Well, yeah, that serves you when you've got that much water coming through. Yes, indeed. Well,
it does. And we're getting ready. I mean, I'm still gardening. I'll be gardening till the ground freezes solid, pretty much. But we are getting ready for bulb planting, tulips, daffodils, flower bulbs, and then also about the same time, really, will be garlic to follow.
Hmm.
Or not necessarily follow. I mean, either one can be planted long as the ground's not frozen.
Right.
And bulbs should be showing up in your stores. They certainly are here around Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still time if you want to order something special that you don't see, you know, particular colors or varieties that aren't available locally. You can certainly go online and order anything. You know that. Anything and everything is available out there.
Sure.
So there's time, because it is, even though they're here in the stores now, that does not mean we should be planting them right now.
Mm.
We do want to wait. Get the bulbs you want, you know, get the selection that you want, and keep them cool and dry until cool, not refrigerated, but, you know, in a cool garage or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Until probably October is what I suggest.
Mm.
So that they don't, because if we take those bulbs that have shown up now and we put them into the cool, moist ground, that's the signal to them to start growing roots. And once they have enough of their signal, there's a certain amount of days, 90 to 120 days or so of cool temperatures below 40 degrees, then they start thinking about putting up flower stalks. Well, shoots, green shoots anyway, heading for the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually seem to get a full thaw in January or February. And of course the bulbs think, oh, it's spring, let's grow. And unfortunately then we get the hard freeze in March. And if those tender tips are at the surface or above, mm-hmm. tulips and daffodils particularly, they can be hit hard by the frost, get killed back to the ground level, and then they will try to grow some more, but again, they've been damaged. They've used up a bunch of energy already, and so that may cause problems. So if you're patient enough, which is a challenge, you know, if we get a nice day, it's nice to think about planting when it's not raining on us. But wait. Wait till October.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of wait till... How long before, say, the first freeze do we want to be kind of shooting for?
It doesn't necessarily have to be before the first frost. It really, yeah, the key really, like I said, is that the ground's not frozen. So we may get multiple frosts that will kill off the tops of our potatoes or begonias or fuchsias or other assorted stuff. You know, the tender annuals and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the ground is freezing right away.
Right.
Again, we've got lots of soil moisture. It takes quite a long time for enough cold weather to freeze the ground. I hate to say it, but I have done this where I've didn't have my bulbs in soon enough and got surprised. It happens to all of us. That, the top 2 inches of the ground froze, and oh my gosh, I've still got hundreds of bulbs to plant. And so I've taken my pick and mattock and broken out chunks of that frozen ground, lifted up,
wow,
set it aside, dig the holes, put the, you know, dig down there 8 inches or so for tulips and daffodils, or less for the smaller bulbs. Mix some fertilizer into the soil down in the bottom, bulb food or something similar, and then plant it and put soil over them. And then eventually I pick up that frozen chunk and put that back on the surface on top of them.
Wow.
And they've done fine. Really have. They are pretty darn tough, considering the place where they come from in Central Asia, among other places, the Middle East to Central Asia.
Hmm.
They are used to cold temperatures. They can tolerate cold temperatures. They would like it drier. They would do better if it were drier here, but not much we can do about that.
Right.
The critical thing really is putting them in an area that is well-drained so that, you know, they aren't down in a low hole. You may need to, if your garden beds have a lot of muskeg, a lot of organic matter, it's worthwhile mixing an extra sand or even pea gravel or something like that in the soil so that they do drain well, so that they will, that the soil will then warm up better because it isn't so waterlogged. And again, those bulbs aren't going to be rotting in the ground being completely saturated.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's an obvious hazard if they're just in the soggy sog for a while. Well,
it is. And we, you know, so if you raise beds, of course, are a great way to go. You know, if you lift up the soil that you have, or if you're making new soil, new beds, new boxes, whatever that happens to be, think about the soil depth that's needed. Again, 6 to 8 inches for the big bulbs, the tulips, daffodils, large ornamental onions, alliums, lilies. All of those can be planted together. They can be planted, and you can plant them. You know, you make your choices, and whether it be colors, all the different colors you have, but they're also different seasons. So at least with tulips, they will say, usually right on the package, and usually all of that information is there for you, the planting depth, how far apart to plant them, and whether they're going to be an early or a mid-season or late tulips or blooming time. And that, again, that so you can mix them up so you can stretch your season out for several months from the first snowdrops that might be blooming. I've had them in the end of February, first week of March. I actually have had them earlier than that, even in early February.
Wow.
Through the small bulbs like crocus and lucilla that are in April, maybe the earliest of the daffodils that are going to be in April into early May, and then the early tulips are going to be usually early May, mid to late May, and possibly into June, depending on, again, what kind of a springtime we're going to have.
Right. So, yeah, that makes sense, that just the crucial thing, which should be so obvious, but so many people, all of us oftentimes, just skip the step of read the instructions on the package carefully.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It does. I mean, yes, certainly if you've been doing this for a while, that's not so necessary. But the other thing to think about, particularly with tulips, particularly in Petersburg and selected areas of Juneau also, are the deer. Mm. And deer love tulips. Mm. So we forgot that. My wife and I forgot that last fall. We had some leftover tulips, and we planted them in an exposed area along our driveway. And they sprouted up ever so nicely in April. Mm. And we were getting excited. Here comes the flower buds, mm, looking good. And sure enough, the next morning I go out there, and half of them have been chewed off by the deer. Mm. And it seems like they know, you know, just mere moments before they open up, or a day before they open up, the deer come along and browse off the top, the buds, flower, yeah, buds, and some of the new leaves very often, too.
Yeah.
So, again, you're probably going to have to protect them with cages or fences or whatever if you want to grow those.
Yeah.
Daffodils, the blue scilla, the alliums, the ornamental onions, those deer don't like.
Hmm.
You can usually get away with planting those almost anywhere you want. But again, the tulips are a favorite. Crocus also sometimes. So again, think about that when or where you're planting them. Can you protect them from the those hooved locusts that wander through in herds sometimes?
Is there anything you can plant, like you just mentioned those alliums, is there anything that's like a repellent to the deer where you could have a layer of those on the outside?
That'd be a great experiment. I know some people suggest doing that, but depends on how hungry the deer are, I suppose, also in your neighborhood. So whether they go in there and they come sneaking in and there's a few tulips in among the alliums or and such, hard to say.
Hmm.
And I know there's various deer repellents that folks use to spray. I had asked earlier if folks would contact me or let you know, mm-hmm, what they recommend, what works for them in Petersburg. But I haven't heard for sure how well they work. I know some folks say they do.
Yeah.
So that you can actually spray it on the leaves of the plants to repel the those rascals that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and you're so right. That probably it all comes down to that moment of deer decision. How hungry is it? How much does it want the thing it's about to destroy to taste preferable or not, you know?
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, I've had it happen to me when I brought up new plants, trees, shrubs, perennials that bring them up from down south, and they're fully leafed out in April, and we unload them out of the shipping container and put them out there, and overnight the deer find the dessert, and here they are. You know, this is stuff where the local plants are not leafed out and all that tasty yet, but these plants from down south definitely will definitely give them that extra bit of sweetness, flavor, greenery, whatever it happens to be that they look for. So, again, that's where some of these things, since we know this can happen, then we just need to plan for it.
Right, right. Yeah, all of that is so good to think about. You know, one of the many, many things to consider when planning the bulb planting phase. You know, you want to schedule your blooms, know which ones the deer like the most, protect those from them. Make sure your beds have drainage if you can. Get your timing right for planting. Yeah, all of those are great things to keep in mind this time of year when you're looking forward to those bulb blooms.
More stuff to think about. Again, if you're depending on where you want to plant your bulbs, whether you're going to go into existing perennial beds, where there's other assorted flowers growing already, that you may want to do, you know, multiple patches. Maybe you planned for it in the springtime and left openings in there that you didn't fill them all up. Or you can also do something a little different in that if you've got perennials in there, which is nice because then the perennials, as they grow, are usually a little later blooming. They can hide the dying foliage of the other of the bulbs. Mm. Ideally, you would allow that foliage to stay there until it does turn yellow and die back, and then you can clean it off, clear it away.
Right.
But the perennials can hide that. And so maybe it, with some of them, primroses and some other stuff, you can lift some of the perennials, the kind of the more shallow-rooted stuff, lift the big clumps, set them aside, work in, again, dig some holes, plant some bulbs, and then put some of the perennials right on top of or right in front of, very close to, these bulb patches that you've planted, so that, again, they are helping to protect the bulbs from, you know, from the too early harvest of their leaves by us, you know, because they look so, they look ugly. I mean, they do. And again, with tulips, often, many times, I treat them as an annual because of this cool, wet condition that we normally have. Tulips would like to have, they would like to bake in the sun when they're blooming or just after they're done blooming, making nutrients with their leaves, and then they die back to the ground. Well, we don't usually get that much baking action here like they do in the Middle East and other places where they're native to. So again, these bulbs, if you're going to treat them as an annual, you don't need to fertilize them either, because they come with this package of nutrients in the bulbs, which will give them all the food they need to flower that year. You know, you plant them in October, and then they're going to flower in April, May, June, whatever it is. And then if you're, and the problem is, even with fertilizer, tulips at least are challenging to get to make enough food to feed the bulbs and then mature, die off, and then flower as well again the next year. So usually the first spring, you've got these big, beautiful blooms, just as you expected. The second spring, if you, even with fertilizer, you get stalks, stems that may be half as tall and maybe half as many of the tulips bloom. And by the third year, usually you're down to just a few leaves.
Wow.
So, again, that may be an indication to just pull them out and start fresh.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's so interesting. Yeah, it's just a matter of sunlight, huh?
Well, yeah, sun would be nice, although cloudy weather isn't necessarily a bad thing while they're blooming, because that will actually prolong the bloom time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've got hot, sunny weather, say in the 60s and 70s, that'll mean that an individual tulip blossom may only last 2 or 3 days, where if we've got the more cloudy, more normal weather, that same tulip flower may last for a week or more. Now, it does help having, the more sun we have, the more open the flower will be. They'll actually almost open, some varieties will almost open out flat. So if it's really cloudy, then they'll stay more tightly, you know, partially closed at least. So again, you can see, you can watch the difference, and even to a, you know, sunny day versus a cloudy day, one after the other, you can see the change that the tulips will actually close up more on those cloudy days.
Wow. Those are cool plants. Gosh.
Kind of interesting how that works. And, you know, in practical aspects, I mentioned about planting. Well, when I'm planting usually hundreds of bulbs.
Right.
And I normally will plant, I'll dig a hole, put the soil from that hole over into a bucket or wheelbarrow, do my fertilizing in the bottom, plant the bulbs, and then I'll go along, and I may be digging multiple holes in this bed, or even having a long winding trench, or sometimes I'll dig, you know, big areas. So you'll have this hole and continuously plant across. So the next hole, the soil from that goes in, covers the first batch, and then I plant another bunch, and then I dig another hole or lengthen the trench, and that covers over the second batch of bulbs. So it's more efficient. Definitely more efficient than planting one bulb at a time with these little cute little bulb planters.
Right.
That's not very efficient if you've got, you know, in some years I've planted several thousand bulbs in a yard.
Wow.
One at a time doesn't get it.
Yeah, that's a good idea, thinking about that sort of engineering of that moment of planting the bulbs, the workflow there.
And then the other thing you can do too, again, we kind of talk about layering, where if we plant those deep bulbs, the tulips, daffodils, lilies, alliums, but if we then just fill our hole in halfway, So from being 6 to 8 inches deep, now there's a hole that's 3 inches deep. Mm-hmm. We can put in some of the earlier blooming bulbs, crocus, lucilla, snowdrops, and that sort of thing, and then cover those up, and then they will flower first, and then a little later the daffodils and the tulips will come up, and then they will flower, hiding the first bulb's foliage.
Huh.
Then we have our other stuff, whether it be perennials, or maybe we'll use annuals. We'll use nasturtiums or some other assorted different kinds of annuals that we plant, like while the bulbs are flowering, essentially, or immediately afterwards. And then again, that stuff hides the dying foliage, too.
Wow.
So in that one, you know, say you've got a 3-square-foot area, you can have dozens of flowers, potentially, spread out over, you know, again, here we're talking about some February until perhaps June or July or later, depending what the other perennials or annuals are that you've got growing.
Yeah, gosh, wow, that is cool.
So this, we're trying to get as much bang for the buck, as much flower for the space, the square footage that we have.
Totally.
Make it look good for as long a period of time as we can.
Yeah. Ah. Well, maybe that's a great note to leave it on. Those are some great tips about bulb planning and planting and planning. And so this week is a good week for people to be gathering those bulbs up. These are some great things for them to keep in mind as they're preparing to plant all those. And next week we'll talk about garlic, probably. Planting garlic.
And again, yeah, looking this week, as you say, you start doing some planning, figure where are these things going to go. You can make yourself a little map with colors, and you can get quite creative with this, or just get yourself a whole bunch of bulbs, dig holes, and plant them willy-nilly across the across the flower bed.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, well, Ed, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a little bit of opportunity to be working out there in the garden.
The sun is shining through the windshield as we speak.
Oh,
here,
my
so
goodness. Get out
amazing.
There. Well, thanks for taking the time on this sunny afternoon to spread your wisdom into the gardens around Petersburg. And we will talk to you again next week. Thanks so much.
All right. I enjoy it, Orin. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Know
what this country needs. Homegrown tomatoes, never yard you
all
see.
All right.
When I die, don't
in the garden,
me.
Master Gardener Ed Bajarski, thank you so much. And thank you to the Flower Farm. They've got subscriptions available with bouquet delivery, dahlias and such colorful flowers down there. And those great greenhouses at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing, every day but Wednesday, 772-3464, their number. And coming up next, we've got High Country with Dave Israelson.
Only two things that money can't buy.